Everyone, this is Brother Brennan coming to you live from Fayetteville, Arkansas with another Fishers of Men video broadcast, and I'll tell you what, I can't get enough of that. It's just the yodeling. Isn't that song just priceless? I mean, boy, it's just, you just really can't, you really cannot listen to that with a straight face. You just can't. Oh, boy. It's good to be here this evening, and it's good to have a few laughs. And tonight, we're going to be covering Romans chapter 8, but we're only going to be covering verses 1 through 17. We've got a lot. I got verses. And so, basically, we're going to only go through verses 1 through 17, and I got a whole bunch of verses to go through, and you'll be very surprised at what I got for verses. It's amazing what you find in the Word of God. Amen. So, don't have really any announcements. For prayer requests, just the same as usual. If you can keep me in prayer, keep my ministry in prayer, keep these videos in your prayer. Pray for me tonight. We've got fellow brothers and sisters that have lost family members, so keep them in prayer. We've got people that are in need of, you know, just comfort because they have pain, you know, and all sorts of stuff. So be sure to pray for our brothers and sisters. If you have any prayer requests, you can feel free to mention them or just message me. If you have any praises that you'd like to praise the Lord about, you can feel free to just put that in the comments as well. And we're not going to go very long with prayers or praises or announcements because I want to get through. I want to take some time to go through here in Romans. We're going to be really flipping back and forth and going everywhere, and we're just going to be going everywhere tonight, okay? So you bear with me, you pray for me, pray that, you know, God's will be done, and pray that God would be glorified, and that people would get saved, amen? So, it is good to be here this evening, and if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 1. And it says here, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, it's really interesting. Isn't it interesting that in this verse, it's there is no condemnation to them which are what? In Christ. In Christ. Amen. Now, where is that? There's another place where that term, in Christ, is mentioned. Okay? Now, it is mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Okay? So, when you are in Christ, old things are passed away, new things are new. And you realize, and this first verse, it says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ. So if you are in Christ tonight, and you are born again, God-fearing, and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and you are a child of God, you are in Christ. So therefore, if you are in Christ, you're not just a new creature, but there is no condemnation. Do you know why? There is no condemnation because Christ does not condemn you. But your sin will condemn you. Your sin condemns you. Your sin, the devil will try to condemn you. Your flesh will condemn you. You know, even your heart will even try to condemn you. But you want to know something? There is something greater than our hearts. And that is Christ's love. And if he dwells within your heart, okay, Christ is perfect. And he will not condemn you whatsoever. Okay? Now, let's take a look at that real quick. And we're only in the first verse, by the way, and we're not, there's still verses I want to get to. Okay? But let's take a look at the word condemn. You remember the woman at the well? Do you remember that? The woman that was caught in adultery had like five husbands. Jesus asked her go call thine husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, correct, you have five husbands. You remember that? Or do I have the context wrong on that? No. I don't have the context. I'm wrong on that. That's not the context I'm thinking of, okay? That's not this context. This context is the woman that's caught in the act of adultery, and the Pharisees, by the law, was going to stone her. You remember that context? And when we look in verse 10 of John chapter, that's John chapter 8. Okay, so John chapter 8, and let's start in verse 10. It says, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Think about it. Who is Satan? Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And don't think for one minute that Satan won't use the law against you, because he will. Satan knows the word of God more than you know the word of God. And Satan can use the law and try to use the law against you. But remember that we are free from the bondage of the law. The law can't save you. The law is good, but it can't save you. Okay? But now Satan is the accuser of the brethren, okay? Now, but Jesus says, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Does that make sense, folks? This woman that was caught in the act of adultery, the Pharisees were going to legalistically throw stones at this woman. And Jesus said to him, he that is without sin may cast the first stone. And you know what happened? Everybody dispersed. Everybody left. They couldn't throw a stone at her. They all dispersed. And when they got done dispersing, that's when Jesus said, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And the woman said, no man, Lord. And do you want to know something? Jesus gave her grace. Okay? Grace. Okay? He said to her, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. Let's read that passage again in Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You know what? I thought of something. Let's go back to the woman at the well. Because I think this fits really well in this. Okay? Think about the woman at the well. Okay? You have a woman with five husbands, and neither of them is the husband. Okay? But you realize that when Jesus is at the well, he does not condemn that woman. As a matter of fact, Jesus points out the sin, and that in turn comes to repentance, and you realize that this woman goes out telling people about who Christ is. Think about that. Jesus does not condemn her. He convicts, but there is no condemnation. Jesus does not condemn this woman at the well. Think about that. As a believer, what does the Holy Ghost do when you sin? He convicts you. He says, we need to talk. The Holy Ghost convicts you, shows you what you've done was wrong. So what? So that you might repent. I want you to think of another example. Do you remember when Peter denied Christ three times? You remember that? Remember when Peter looked over at Jesus? What did Jesus do? What did he say? He didn't say anything. Jesus just looked at Peter. And the Bible says that Peter remembered what the Lord told him. Peter was convicted. He wasn't condemned. There was no condemnation. He was convicted. Think about that. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, so turn with me to John 3:19. John 3:19. As a matter of fact, I'm going to use the Bible software because I think it might be a little bit easier. But John 3:19 is where we're going to go. Whoops, that's not what I wanted. Luke, John, we'll go to 3. John chapter 3, verse 19. Okay, it says, For everyone that doeth evil, do I have that right? I've read the wrong one. Okay, so this is it. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That's the condemnation. Amen? For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. For he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let me tell you something. This world is condemned. Do you know why? Let's go back up, okay? Let's go to verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Okay, so if you are lost, you are already condemned. Do you know why? Because you love darkness, and when the light shows up and you don't like it, your sin becomes exposed, and you know it's wrong, and you start to go the other way, or you'll either repent. A lot of people nowadays are just running the other way and trying to hide from them. They're trying to hide. Amen? So we see that it's the lost that's already condemned. You know why? Because they believe not. In this first verse, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that which are in Christ Jesus. So you have to be in Christ Jesus to not receive condemnation. Amen. Now let's go to John 5. John chapter 5. And we'll go to verse 24. I hope this is making sense for you guys. I hope this is easy to understand. I hope this is something that makes sense for you. Amen. I don't want this to be a complex thing. It's very simple. Okay. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay. Now, Romans chapter 5. We already gone through Romans 5, but let's go to Romans 5. Okay, Romans chapter 5. And we're going to go verses 16 through 18. 16 to 18. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So if you are truly born again, you have no condemnation. Jesus does not condemn you. He will convict you, he will chasten you, and he will work on you to get that sin out of you. But he will not condemn you. Because sometimes our heart condemns us. But there is one that is greater than our heart, and that is Jesus Christ, and that is the Holy Ghost. Amen? The Holy Ghost, the Lord Jesus Christ, is greater than your heart. Your heart can deceive you. Your heart can do all sorts of things that you don't want. And God is greater than our heart. Amen? Now, we'll go to verse 2. We're already in verse 2 already. Amen. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, let's go to Romans, 3:20. Romans 3, and we're going to read in verse 20. There we go. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there should no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. okay? And 1 Peter 3:18. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Quickened means to be made alive, which means in the flesh Christ died, but by the Holy Ghost he rose from the dead. Amen. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. Okay, do you know why? Because the law was our schoolmaster, pointing us to Christ. Okay, but the law pointed out that we were sinners, and the law pointed out your sin. And remember, when sin is done, it brings death. So for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. It was weak. It was good, but was weak in the flesh. In the flesh. Okay? God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Let me tell you something. Why does the Bible say likeness? Because Jesus Christ is the one who knew no sin, folks. He was that perfect, he was that pure, he was that perfect, spotless lamb, which made him the excellent sacrifice to take sin and nail it onto his cross forever. And sin there was judged, and God's wrath was poured out on that cross on our sin. Christ was perfect. He was a perfect man. His flesh was not corrupt. Do you know why? Because of the virgin birth. He was born, he was conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost. A virgin bore a child in her womb by the power of the Holy Ghost, folks. This is why it says likeness. Because when Christ was born, his flesh and he and his flesh were perfect. He is the second Adam. Adam, the first Adam, lived to be 930 years. Do you know what the 930th chapter is? Matthew 1:1. The book of the genealogies of who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the second Adam. And he was perfect. In the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Amen. When Christ died on the cross, our sins went on Christ. And that condemnation, the judgment, the wrath was all poured out on Christ so that we wouldn't have to. Now, of course, we will be judged, but we won't be under wrath. We're not appointed under wrath. Because that wrath was already poured out at the cross. Jesus took that so that we wouldn't have to take that. Folks, that is true love. Jesus is right. Jesus is right in what he said. There is no greater love for a man to lay his life down for his friends. And we are his friends. Amen. That's good. So we see that he was in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We need to, as believers, we need to be walking after this, after the Spirit. And as what we'll see here, what is born of flesh is flesh, but what is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Now, we've already covered that particular verse, but we'll see like an overlap in these coming verses. Okay? Now, the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Amen. Let's go to John again. John chapter 3, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Listen, lost people are going to sin. Don't ever expect a lost person to follow the laws of God, because they're not going to do it. You know why? Because they're not born again. They're lost. All they know is sin. So they're going to sin. Amen? I think as Christians, we need to be careful to not rush to, they need to be doing what we're doing if they're lost. If they die in that condition, and if they choose to die in that condition, yeah, they're going to end up in hell. Amen? But they're not saved, and they need to get saved. Amen? For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, I have a Spurgeon study Bible, and Charles Spurgeon, this is what he says about verse 8. He says, people may wash this old nature. They may clothe it, they may decorate it, they may educate it, but no evolution can produce grace out of nature. Amen? You can decorate it, you can make it smell good, you can do it all sorts of things with this old raggedy flesh. Truth of the matter is, eventually this flesh is going to be burnt away and done away with. And we're all going to get new bodies. Amen? Because this flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It just won't. Amen? It just won't. Now, let's go to Romans again. I know, there's a lot of verses in Romans I want to touch on. Romans 6:23. We all know that one. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Think about that. To be carnally minded is death. What brings death, folks? Sin. What is it to be carnally minded? To be in a mindset of sin. Because when sin is done, when it is finished, it will bring death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Focusing on the things of the Spirit. Focusing on things in the spiritual sense, not the physical sense. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 7, verse 5. Romans chapter 7. It says, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:56. 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, wait a minute. Am I even in the right area? No, I'm not. I gotta go to 15. 1 Corinthians 15. 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The sting of death is sin. You guys get it? Sin is what produces death. This is why we're not to have a carnal mind. We're not to be focused on the flesh. You know, if we regard sin in our hearts, God won't hear us. Amen. If I can find it. Oh, here we go. Psalm 66:18. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Think about that. The Lord will not hear you if you regard iniquity in your heart. Don't be carnally minded. Be spiritually minded. Amen. Now, 1 John 5:17. 1 John 5:17. 5. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. All unrighteousness is sin. To be carnally minded is unrighteousness. So to be carnally minded is sin, and that is, and sin is enmity with God. And when it's finished, it brings forth death. Amen. Now, let's go to James 4:4. James 4:4. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We're not to be friends with the world. We're not to be carnally minded. To be carnally minded is to befriend the world, and to befriend the world is to be an enemy of God. We cannot. Let me tell you something. You cannot, in the flesh, please God. Oh, by the way, what pleases God? Faith. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 11. What pleases God? Go to Hebrews 11, and I think it's in verse 6. There we go. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen? Now what's faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. Listen, your flesh only wants to see the things that's seen. So, in order to please God, you have to have faith. Faith is the only thing that will please God. Don't ever think that you can please God by your own flesh, because you won't do it. You want to know something? Adam and Eve tried to do that. They tried to do that. They sowed fig leaves to try to cover their nakedness. And they failed. You know what the fig leaves represent? Man's attempt to earn favor with God. And God hates that. God hates it when man tries to attempt to earn credit with God. Your flesh cannot please God. Do you know why? Think about Nabal. Nabal was a churlish man. Nabal represents your flesh. Your flesh wants to do whatever it wants. It wants to sin. And sin does not please God. You cannot please God in the flesh. There, it's not possible. only faith, only by faith, you can please God. Amen? Now, verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Let us go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 2. There we go. Is this making sense so far? I hope this is. I don't want this to be confusing. But most importantly, I hope you're learning something from this, and I hope that you're getting fed. The Word of God will not return void. Amen. And I'm using a lot of scripture, so I'm kind of going everywhere tonight. So just bear with me, okay? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, it says, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Okay, let me tell you something. But ye are not in the but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Let me tell you something. If you don't have the Holy Ghost in you, you have another spirit. It's the Spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, and it's those people that are on course for hell. But you know what the good, news is? Doesn't always have to be that way. They can repent and turn to Christ. Amen. But if you don't have, if you're not saved, listen, there's only two options. You're either lost or you're saved. Either you're lost and dying and going to hell, and you have the spirit of the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, or you're saved and you've got the Holy Spirit of God. If you don't have the Holy Spirit of God, you're lost. Simple as that. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. If you don't have the Holy Ghost and you're not saved, you're lost. There is no in between. You're either lost or saved. Lost or saved. That's it. There's only two teams. You can be on the devil's side, or you could be on the God's side. Which side will you choose? Will you choose the side of Christ and be filled with the Holy Ghost and regenerated? Or will you choose to be on the devil's side and have the spirit of Antichrist? The choice is yours. Okay? It says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Amen? Because of righteousness. Whose righteousness? Christ's righteousness. You know why? Because Christ is within you. The body is dead because of sin. Think about it. We are to be dead to sin. We are to crucify the flesh. We are to say no to the flesh. We are to be living sacrifices. Means that we set aside our selfish ambitions and we serve Christ and what He wants, not what we want. And that's hard because the flesh wants to serve its own self. Amen. And if Christ be in you and you have the Spirit of life within you, think about that. His words are spirit. And they are life. Ye must be born again of incorruptible seed, not corruptible. His word the word of Jesus Christ, God's word, your King James Bible, is spirit and it is life. It is the book of life. It is your DNA. It is the church's DNA. It is the DNA of Christ. It is the DNA that we are to be born again with. When we are born again with, we have life because we are in Christ and His Word abides within us. Amen? We ought to be born again, not of a false Bible, but of the true, incorruptible, inerrant, inspired Word of God, which is your King James Bible, which God took and translated it into English so we can understand it. Can I get an amen from God's people on that? God wants you to be born again. He wants a relationship with you. But it all starts with being born again, which means to be regenerated. And by the way, if you're interested, go take a look at the regeneration message that I did on Monday. I think that you might hopefully be blessed by that, okay? But I talk about regeneration and what that means. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth within you. Okay, listen. If you have the Holy Ghost of God, you belong to Him. And the promise of that is, you will be raised up into newness of life because you are born again, spirit-filled. You are a child of the King. And when that same Spirit that raised Christ up will raise you up at the last day, there is power in the Holy Ghost. There is power. Amen? There is power. Now, therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through your Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Okay? I got a lot of scripture on that. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2, verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Those who walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. The lust of uncleanness, folks. You know what the lust of uncleanness is? That's the flesh. That's walking after the flesh. Amen. Let's go to Jude chapter 1, verse 18. Jude 1, 18. It says, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last days, or last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. You want to know something? When you walk after the flesh, you're walking after ungodly lusts. Because remember, the flesh cannot please God. What did we read back in verse 8? The flesh can't please God. In the last days, there are going to be people walking after their flesh into ungodly lusts, which is walking after the flesh. We're not to do that. We are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Oh boy, went a little bit too far. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Listen, the flesh and the spirit, they war against each other. They're contrary. Let's not walk after the flesh, let's walk after the spirit. Amen. We need to walk after the spirit, not after the flesh. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. So just the next chapter. Verse 8. It says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh." You know why? Because when you live after the flesh, you are sowing into the flesh, and you will reap sin. You will reap death. "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die." Sowing to the flesh, you'll die. "But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." So to the Spirit, not to the flesh. Flesh will equal death. Spirit equals life. Amen. Jesus said, "My words are spirit, and they are life." Let's walk after the things of the Spirit, not the flesh. Now, lastly, believe it or not, we're just about to wrap up the section of Romans 8. Still not done yet. We got a lot more to go, but just for tonight, we're going to be doing up to verse 17, and we're almost there. So bear with me. Okay, verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Do you know why? Because a son has traits and has the same DNA of his father. So when you are born of God, you have his spirit. When you have his spirit, you are led, you will be led by the Spirit. Amen. "So for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And after this, we'll wrap up. How does that sound? Verse 7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." The Holy Ghost is not the spirit of bondage, but the Holy Ghost is the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And when we got born again, that's the spirit that we received, is the spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Amen. You know why? Because God is love, and the Holy Ghost is God. God the Spirit. God is love. God is all powerful. And God is the one that can give you a sound mind. Amen. for ye have not received. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Can I tell you something? If you're born again, the Holy Ghost of God bears witness to your spirit that you are a child of God. These things are written that ye may know that ye have everlasting life. When you're born again, there is an assurance of your salvation. I'm going to tell you something. I know there are people who struggle with that are born again. Do you know why? Because I was one of those. There are times that I've doubted my faith. Okay? But can I tell you something? October 24th of 2019, I went before the Lord and I told the Lord that I didn't want to have doubts of my salvation. And I didn't want to have any more doubts. I told the Lord that I wanted to know that if I died, I'd be home with Him for all eternity. And I didn't want to have any more doubts. Well, sure enough, when I was praying and repenting of my sin and taking that time in prayer, the Holy Ghost, by His mercy and grace, lifted that burden off of me. And it was from that point, even to today, that I can tell you that I have that assurance of salvation. It's not that I was born again. It was the fact I was saved, but I was getting rid of that burden because it was burdening me down. I didn't want to have doubts. And God, by His grace, showed me that assurance of my salvation. He did. And if God could do that for me, He can do that for you. Amen. Because guess what? We have this, that spirit of adoption. You realize that that word spirit is capitalized. The S is capitalized. That's talking about God the Spirit. When you have the Holy Ghost, you've been adopted into His family, and whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. And that same, and God the Spirit, God the Holy Ghost, okay, that same, the Holy Ghost will bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. By the way, can I tell you something? You know when you bear witness to something or someone, you have to be with them, don't you? So when we are born again and filled with the Holy Ghost is with us. We are filled with the Holy Ghost. And it's by that the Holy Ghost bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Amen. And the last verse says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. If you're born again today and you're spirit filled and you are regenerated, you are joint heirs with Christ. We are joint heirs with Him. Amen. We are joint heirs with Him. Well, I know that was a lot. Believe it or not, that was only verses 1 through 17. Next week, 1 week from today, if the Lord wills, we will be picking up on verse 18 and hopefully finishing the chapter. I don't know how long we might go through it. There's not much left of the chapter, so we'll probably finish it next time. There's a lot there. and you could see there was a lot there. I'd go for 3, 4, 5 hours if I preached the whole chapter. And that sometimes can get a little overwhelming with people. And people tend to have shorter attention spans. So that's why I had to cut this in half and about half. So we only covered about half the chapter. A lot of scripture, a lot of information. Hope it made sense. Hope it was a blessing to you. Hope you got something out of it. My hope and prayer is that your life might be changed as a result of this. Amen. So I'm going to tell you something. We're not under the law. We're to be, we're not under the law. We're under grace. Grace is to enable us to live a holy life. Amen. And it's not a license to sin. We're dead to sin, and we are made alive in Christ. Because Christ is our life. Amen. And we are only righteous because of His righteousness that He gives us by His grace. It is not of anything that we've done, but it is of what Christ has done on the cross. Amen. So, next week, hopefully, Lord willing, we'll finish up Romans chapter 8. We'll be finishing up Romans chapter 8. And I kind of stumbled around a little bit, so I apologize. And I appreciate you all bearing with me through my stumbling around words. Because sometimes I don't think I make sense. And shockingly, when I sometimes think I don't make sense, there are people that actually pick out things that I don't even think of. Amen. So praise the Lord for that. I'm trying to shut this off here. That's not one. There we go. Anyway, so I hope this was a blessing to you. I hope you got something out of this. It's a lot of scripture, a lot of information. I want to be a blessing to people. I don't ever want to... Listen, I want to be a blessing to people, and I know that people say I am a blessing. Well, if that's the case, I'll tell you why I'm a blessing. I'm a blessing because I was cursed. I was a curse to people, and God took a cursed old man like me and blessed me with things so that I may be a blessing to others. Amen. All I want to do is to be a blessing to others. I want to love others. I want to serve others. But most importantly, I want to love and serve my God. Amen. That's all I want. And I enjoy preaching very much so. I enjoy doing what I do. And yeah, I like what Pastor Mike says. He says, You are the reason why I do what I do. And he's got a point. You guys are the reason, and for me anyways, you guys are the reason why I do what I do. Amen. If it wasn't for you, I probably wouldn't have a whole lot of people to preach to. But God brings the increase. Amen. So God brings the increase. All I have to do is be faithful to plant seed and have someone else water. And God brings the increase. Amen. So hopefully this was a good teaching for you. Hopefully it might have met some expectations or exceeded some expectations. I don't know. God knows. But, I love you guys, and it's great to be here tonight. And I'm not sure what I'm going to be teaching on Sunday, so be in prayer for me on that. I might have to get back into the three categories of sin. I know I keep saying that, and I never really do. But if the Lord wills, we'll get back into it eventually. So just pray for me on that. But other than that, I think that's all I got. So I love you guys. This is Brother Brandon. I'm be signing off for the evening. I love you guys. God bless you. You guys have a blessed week. You have a great weekend, and we'll see you Sunday. God bless you guys. See ya. Love ya. Bye.